Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MMH chief says number of vaccinated needs to double, by Stuart Doreen. We need to double those numbers of people vaccinated. We are not on pace to do that. Those were the words from Midland Health President and CEO Russell Myers on Tuesday during the call of the Midland United Command Team. Myers provided some of his most direct comments this calendar year about the lack of participation of Midland County residents in the vaccination process. He said Tuesday, just less than 40% of Midland County's eligible residents have received one dose of COVID-19 vaccine. That, he said, falls off the 50-plus percentage around the state. He also said around 32.5% in Midland County have received two doses or are fully vaccinated. So those numbers are much lower than what we had hoped for, Myers said. We would like to have seen double that in terms of the distribution of the vaccine. So it's been a pretty disappointing response by people in our community who, for whatever reason, are choosing not to be vaccinated, while the disease remains present and may be increasing here locally. Myers and Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer for Midland Health, both stated that anyone eligible for the vaccine can make a reservation at the Midland Health Department. No questions asked. There also is plenty of vaccine at locations like United Supermarkets. Last week, Midland Health transferred 1,170 doses to United. We've delivered, one way or another, over 110,000 doses of vaccine, Myers said. Delivery could be in the form of vaccines administered or transferred to medical entities or pharmacies. Myers said there are still efforts to push the administration of vaccine into the African American community and raise their numbers of vaccine acceptance. He said there are a couple of events planned, one for June 6th at the Alexander Temple Church and the other for June 19th, a Juneteenth celebration at Washington Park. Myers said officials hope to work with a number of churches and other community locations over the next month to 6 weeks. Patient increase at Midland Health. Myers made two points about the number of patients at Midland Memorial Hospital. The first point was that the number of COVID patients is increasing. He said the number on Tuesday was 18, which was not historically high, but up from 11 to 13 the last couple of weeks, and the single digits before that. So back up to 18 indicates that clearly the disease has not gone, Myers said. It's still present in the community, just not the great numbers that we saw before. The second mention of patient numbers had to do with overall patient count. Myers said the census at MMH was around 214, and that the hospital was clearly close to capacity. The hospital is very full, Myers said, and we're a little challenged to find beds for everybody. This article is entitled, Midland Health, Keep Midland Beautiful, Install a Monarch Pollinator Garden, from Staff Reports. Midland Health and Keep Midland Beautiful had an event this past weekend that allowed members of the community to help with the installation of a monarch and pollinator garden. The garden is expected to serve two vital purposes. One, as Midland County resides in the monarch migration path, the garden provides the necessary resources for the population to produce future generations and successful migrations. The garden also will provide breeding areas as well as sustenance, nectar, for the monarch's journey. 2. Pollination is the key to a healthy garden. By planting and maintaining this pollinator garden, a whole host of pollinating insects will be enticed and enriched by the garden's many plants and trees. In turn, local gardeners' plots will benefit from the plethora of well-pollinated, healthy plants. The Native Plant Society of Texas and Monarch Watch provided grant support for the project, according to a press release. This article is entitled Natural Grocers to Relocate, Expand, Modernize Midland Store by J.C. Lewis. Midland's Natural Grocers will expand and relocate its store to a new Loop 250 shopping center in North Central Midland. The current store, located at 3116 North Loop 250 West, will close on May 17th at 5 p.m., and the new location at 3001 Loop 250 Frontage Road will open at 8:30 a.m. May 20th. The new location is Midland Plaza, a shopping center south of the loop between Midkiff Road and Garfield Street. Other stores in that shopping center include TJ Maxx and Home Goods. The May 20th reopening will unveil a contemporary layout with a store that is more than 25% larger than the original location, according to a press release. It will introduce a more efficient checkout experience, a nutrition education center, and increased product selections throughout the store. Customers will experience expanded shelf space in core departments, such as 100% organic produce, vitamins and supplements, body care and beauty, and meat and seafood. The company has upgraded the new space with sustainable building features and energy-saving innovations, such as non-toxic building materials and 100% LED lighting for a lighter carbon footprint. The store decided to relocate and expand the Midland location to offer more to the Midland community, with changes to the new Nutrition Education Center, more efficient checkout lanes, and expanded product selections, according to Pamela Lipschitz, Director of Public Relations. The store added 7 new Good For You crew positions at the new Midland store. Grand Reopening. Midland Natural Grocers Grand Reopening Celebration will include Recipe Bag Giveaway. On May 20th, the first 100 customers will receive a free Natural Grocers cooler bag filled with Natural Grocers brand gluten-free pancake and waffle mix and ingredients to whip up a batch, plus a Natural Grocers kitchen set with an oven mitt plus utensils. Grand Opening Prize Contest. From May 20th to 24th, customers can enter to win prizes such as a $500 Natural Grocers gift card, an Aventon e-bike, a Vitamix blender, a Cuisinart food processor, and more. Entry forms will be available at the store. Prize Wheel. From May 20th to 26th, customers are invited to spin the prize wheel when they visit the Nutrition Education Center and meet their nutritional health coach. See store for more details. Special Grand Opening Discounts. From May 20th to June 19th, customers will enjoy deals on 100% organic produce, including strawberries, raspberries, grape tomatoes, zucchini, humanely raised bacon and bacon alternatives, free-range eggs and staple items such as GT's kombucha, Mary's free-range non-GMO chicken, and Natural Grocers brand 2-pound organic rolled oats. What's in store? The Midland store, which originally opened in 2011 as Natural Grocers' 7th Texas location and its Good For You crew, have been serving the area for 10 years. At the new location, Natural Grocers will continue providing the community with its unique grocery shopping experience, strict product standards, and community outreach in a space that will serve Midland better. The expanded and modern layout means that Midland area residents will have access to an even larger array of fresh, 100% organic produce, 100% humanely and sustainably raised meats, 100% free-range eggs, 100% pasture-based dairy, the highest quality natural and organic groceries, vitamins and supplements, and household essentials. For additional savings, customers can sign up for N-Power, Natural Grocers' free loyalty program for exclusive discounts, digital coupons, reward benefits, and other members-only features. Customers can sign up for NPower here, naturalgrocers.com/join, or by texting organic to 72345. Natural Grocers Nutritional Health Coaches, NHC, support customers' health and wellness journeys with free one-on-one health coaching sessions, which are currently available via phone and video. The store's current NHC remains on staff at the relocated store. Residents of Midland and its surrounding communities can enjoy a clean and safe shopping environment at the new location because of COVID-19 related policies and guidelines in place at all Natural Grocers stores. The new store will open with modified hours as follows: 8:30 a.m. to 8:35 p.m. Monday to Saturday, and 9 a.m. to 7:35 p.m. Sunday. Additionally, there will be 2 weekly shopping hours exclusively for seniors age 60 and older, pregnant women, and individuals with underlying medical conditions, 9 to 10 a.m. Sundays and 8 to 9 a.m. Wednesdays. This article is entitled Alliance of Environmental Oil Interests Block Bill Landgraf's Nuclear Waste Bill by Aaron Douglas, Texas Tribune. A bill opposed by both environmental and some oil interests that would have given a nuclear waste company in West Texas a big break on state fees failed to receive a vote in the Texas House before a key deadline on Monday. House Bill 2692, which also would have banned the most dangerous type of radioactive waste from entering Texas for disposal under state law, was blocked from advancing by a point of order brought by State Representatives Tom Craddock, Republican Midland, and Harold Dutton, Democrat Houston. It was sent back to committee and has failed to be voted out a second time before Monday, the last day House committees could report measures and have a chance of passing. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, whose district includes Andrews County, where the nuclear waste company Waste Control Specialist operates, had sought in the legislation to stop a plan to build a 332-acre site in West Texas near the New Mexico border to store the riskiest type of nuclear waste, spent fuel rods from nuclear power plants, which can remain dangerously radioactive for hundreds of thousands of years. But opponents of the bill, including Craddock, whose district is nearby, said the legislation wasn't strong enough to stop the federal government from forcing Texas to take the dangerous materials. Opponents believe the primary purpose of the legislation was to give the company a break on fees it pays for its existing lower-level radioactive waste disposal facility. This legislation would not have added the protections needed to prevent a high-level radioactive waste ban in Texas, Craddock wrote in a statement, saying he killed Landgraf's bill. Walking back on a promise to the Permian Basin is not an option. Craddock and Dutton, who is known for bringing successful points of order, blocked the bill on the grounds that the bill's analysis does not adequately explain the legislation. Landgraf appeared taken aback by the opposition and apologized to the House for taking up time on what he thought would be a bipartisan bill to ban high-level nuclear waste from coming to Texas. "It was never my intention for this bill to be a contentious issue," Landgraf said. He said that stakeholders agreed to the language of the bill in March. Waste Control Specialist has been disposing of the nation's low-level nuclear waste, including tools, building materials, and protective clothing exposed to radioactivity, for a decade in Andrews County. The company is currently pursuing, with a partner, a federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission license to store spent nuclear fuel on a site adjacent to its existing facility, a plan that both environmentalists and some oil companies that operate in the region have long opposed. Landgraf's bill would have reduced some state fees on the existing lower-level waste facility. With states in Texas Radioactive Waste Compact, which currently include only Texas and Vermont, the bill would have eliminated a 5% fee that now goes to Texas and cut the fee on waste from other states from 20% to 5%. In a written statement, Waste Control Specialist President and Chief Operating Officer David Carlson said the company remains committed to working closely with our community, our regulators, and the state of Texas to ensure the facility remains viable, safe, and an asset to the state and the state's economy, and thanked Landgraf for his work on the legislation. Environmental and consumer groups opposed the bill, along with the state's GOP, which called it a bad bill and terrible for communities in an April 29th tweet from the party's official account. Adrian Shelley, director for Public Citizen, an Austin environmental and consumer advocacy group, said the fee reductions were his primary concern because it would have left the state with less money to clean up the site if an accident ever occurred. The bill, front and back, was pretty concerning, he said. It is not the first time elected officials have blocked the fee reduction for the company in the legislature. In 2019, Governor Greg Abbott vetoed a widely supported bipartisan bill to protect domestic violence survivors because an amendment was erroneously added to delay an increase to a surcharge and state fee paid by waste control specialists. Opponents said they are concerned that the idea to reduce fees on the facility is not dead. Until the Texas legislature adjourns on May 31st, lawmakers may still file last-minute amendments or of emergency legislation. We expect waste control specialists will try to sneak it in somewhere, somehow again, like they did last session when they snuck it into the domestic violence bill, said Karen Haddon, the executive director of the Sustainable Energy and Economic Development Coalition, an alliance of businesses and organizations that opposes the nuclear waste facility. In a statement to the Tribune, Landgraf said he has other important work to focus on this session. It is highly unlikely that a statutory ban on the disposal of high-level radioactive waste in Texas or any other provisions contained within House Bill 2692 will be achieved this legislative session, Landgraf said. This is the news page. This article is entitled, Midland Health Assists in Getting Vaccines to Midlanders 12 and Older, by Stuart Doreen. Midland Health officials are working with Midland ISD and pediatric practices to administer a vaccine to any student 12 and older that wants one. The school district will have opportunities for vaccinations at secondary schools across the city. Katie Atkins, Chief of Staff for Midland ISD, said Tuesday that the following schools will host clinics: Abel Junior High, May 17th, San Jacinto Junior High and Alamo Junior High, May 18th, Goddard Junior High, May 24th, Lee Freshman High School, May 25th, and Midland Freshman High School, May 26th. The times for each are 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Atkins said that notices went out to parents on Monday night. She also stated parents should complete a form for the students and accompany students ages 12 to 17 for the duration of their vaccination time. Appointments need to be reserved, she said. If parents do not want their students to receive the vaccine, there is absolutely no obligation, Atkins said. U.S. regulators on Monday expanded the use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine to children as young as 12, according to the Associated Press. The Food and Drug Administration declared that the Pfizer vaccine is safe and offers protection for younger teens based on testing of more than 2,000 U.S. volunteers ages 12 to 15, according to the report. There's nobody 12 years and above who's not eligible to get the vaccine, Midland Health President Russell Meyer said, and there's really no reason not to proceed to get it. It's in your own best interest and your family's and the community's best interest to stop this virus where it is. Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer for Midland Health, was asked why it was so important for those 12 years old and older to receive a vaccine. He said, "It has been unusual with COVID-19 that largely the older a person is, the higher risk he or she is of getting more sick from it, along with those people with underlying illnesses. But there's a couple of things that are really important to keep in mind," Wilson said. "An asymptomatic carrier of the virus can spread the virus. And if there's other people that they get around that haven't been vaccinated and are in a risk category, and even another child that's in a risk category could potentially catch the virus from them, and no one would know that they had the virus because most children don't get sick or don't get very sick. So that's a really important point. Another one that we have to keep in mind is the risk of variants developing. The virus in replication, when it gets into the body and it reproduces itself over and over again, that's when, while it's reproducing itself, that variants develop. That's when genetic mutations occur. So if we suppress the amount of virus in the community, we're reducing the likelihood that unusual variants are going to develop or high-risk variants are going to develop. And we have basically a pool of children unvaccinated, spreading the virus amongst themselves, not getting very sick, but able to produce a mutation that can become much more serious. We run a great risk. It's not unexpected that when Britain was having a spike, the British variants developed. When India is having a spike, a double variant developed in people there. Everything we can do to stop virus replication and virus spread in the community, even among those at low risk of getting very sick from it, reduces the likelihood of having complicated problems coming up downstream." This article is entitled, "Mextech's Family Fiesta Returns to Downtown Midland," by Caitlin Randall. The Mextech's Family Fiesta, featuring cook-off competitions, arts and crafts vendors, games and live music, will return to downtown Midland on June 12th. The Midland City Council on Tuesday approved allowing the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce to hold the festival at Centennial Park, which opened in November 2020. The event was canceled last year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Adrian Carrasco with the MHCC said, "This will be the 33rd year for the annual festival. The event will bring families together, culture, and visitors to Midland," he told the City Council on Tuesday. Carrasco said the event, which is sponsored by the Caesar Ornelas Law Firm, is the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Chamber. "The festival has moved several times over the years, from La Mesa Road to downtown Midland and later to the Scarborough Sports Complex," according to Stephen Viella with the MHCC. He said the Chamber is happy to have the event moving back to downtown. "Now that downtown is growing, downtown is beautiful, we need to bring more events to downtown, and this is a staple in Midland," he said. The festival will feature cook-off competitions for fajitas and menudo, a traditional Mexican soup, as well as a cornhole tournament, food trucks, children's area, and an evening concert with Tejano artists. Participation in the cornhole tournament must register in advance for either social doubles or open doubles at $25 per player or $50 per team. Kids' activities at the festival will include a wagon parade, bounce houses, face painting, an arts and crafts tent, and mascots. Winners of the cook-offs will receive cash prizes and plaques. More information and tickets can be found at eventbrite.com. This column is called News Briefs from Staff and Wire Reports. Midland. Jury returns $5.9 million verdict for crash victim who lost three children. A jury in Midland County has returned a $5.9 million verdict against Glen Rose-based energy construction company Dancar Energy Construction, LLC, finding it responsible for a 2017 multiple fatality accident caused by an employee speeding to a job site in inclement weather, according to a press release from a Dallas-based law firm. Jurors agreed that both Dan Carr and its employee bore responsibility for the collision. The trial firm, Lyons & Simmons, represented Neva Rogers, who lost three of her children in the tragic crash. The January 2017 wreck occurred on State Highway 158, southeast of Midland, when Luis Rangel Jr. lost control of his truck on a slick road, sliding into oncoming traffic and slamming into the car driven by Cantrell Hires, who was traveling with his children, ages 16, 14, and 12. Hires and all three children died. Rangel was later convicted of four counts of criminally negligent homicide, according to the press release. The case is Neva Rogers et al. Versus Luis Rangel Jr. and Dan Carr Energy Construction LLC. Midland County 385th District Court, case number CV-5442. Eden. Two Texas deputies killed, city worker wounded in attack. A man shot two West Texas sheriff's deputies dead and critically wounded a city employee answering a dog complaint, authorities said Tuesday. Sergeant Justin Baker of the Texas Department of Public Safety said the suspect was taken into custody after Monday night's attack in Eden, a town of about 1,300 people, roughly 210 miles southwest of Dallas. Jeffrey Nicholas, 28, has been booked into Tom Green County Jail in nearby San Angelo with a bond set at $4 million and charged with capital murder of a peace officer. No attorney for Nicholas was listed in jail records. The two Concho County Sheriff's deputies and a city employee arrived at Bus home shortly after 8:40 p.m., Baker said. While making contact with people at the residence, an altercation occurred and quickly escalated to gunfire, he said. The Lubbock Police Department said in a statement that it was heartbroken to learn of the deaths and that its officers on Tuesday would escort the deputies' bodies to a forensics lab in Lubbock, which is about 200 miles northwest of Eden. Governor Greg Abbott said in a statement that our hearts are broken. This terrible loss is a solemn reminder of the risks our brave law enforcement officers face while protecting our communities, Abbott said. AAA sees a huge jump in travel over Memorial Day weekend. U.S. highways will be far busier over the Memorial Day holiday weekend than last year, but traffic still won't reach pre-pandemic levels, according to a forecast by the American Automobile Association Auto Club. AAA officials say travel will increase because more Americans have been vaccinated against COVID-19, about one-third of U.S. adults, and consumer confidence is growing. The Auto Club and insurance company said Tuesday it expects more than 37 million people to travel at least 50 miles from home during a holiday weekend, up 60% from last year, which was the lowest since AAA began keeping records in 2000. If the AAA forecast is right, however, it would still be 6 million people, or 13% fewer, than left home over Memorial Day in 2019. AAA said 34 million Americans plan driving trips between May 27th and May 31st, a 52% increase over last year. And nearly 2.5 million will take plane trips, nearly six times more than the same period in 2020. A small number will take buses or trains. So far in May, nearly 1.5 million people per day have gone through U.S. airport checkpoints, according to the Transportation Security Administration. AAA said its air travel forecast seems low because it counts each traveler once, while TSA counts somebody twice if they take a round-trip flight. This is the obituary column. Wednesday, May 12th. Charles P. Amrock II. Chip Amrock, 67, passed from this life to his Lord on Thursday, May 6th, 2021. Chip was born in Biloxi, Mississippi, on November 15th, 1953, as the only child of Liliona and the late Charles P. Amrock. Chip is survived by his mother, Leona Amrock of Oklahoma City, and many cousins and relatives. He is predeceased by his father, Charles P. Amrock. Chip was a kind and compassionate man with many lifelong friends with whom he loved spending time. Philip and Patricia Schaub, Pat Dillon, and many more. A funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on May 17th at Greenwood Funeral Homes, 3100 White Settlement Road, Fort Worth, Texas, 76107. Flowers and condolences may be offered at this location. Reverend Dr. Don Enderwood from Edmond, Oklahoma, will officiate. James L. Burnett III. James L. Burnett III passed away with his loving family by his side on May 8, 2021, in Midland, Texas, at the age of 87. He was born on February 19, 1934, in Fort Smith, Arkansas, to Etta Cordelia Gray and J. L. Burnett, Jr. He is survived by his beloved wife of 46 years, Shu Ing Burnett of Midland, Texas, his daughter, Dr. Jeannie Shu Lee Burnett Gray, and her husband, Dr. David L. Gray of Midland, his son, James Brian Burnett, and his wife, Linda of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and his son, Jerry Allen Burnett, and wife, Pamela of Fort Smith, Arkansas, 7 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his father, James L. Burnett, Jr., his mother, Cordelia Gray Matthews, and his brother, Gary Gray Burnett. A memorial service will be held at 3:30 p.m. on Friday, May 14th, at First Baptist Church Chapel in Midland. The family requests that any memorial contributions be made to the charity of their choice or to the Midland Humane Coalition, P.O. Box 53213, Midland, Texas, 79710. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Aaron Napoleon Henderson. Aaron Peanut Napoleon Henderson, Jr., 64, of Midland, passed away on Monday, May 10th. Services are pending with Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. He is survived by his daughter, Tiffany McMillan, and sons Michael Henderson and Ty Henderson. Joe David Williams, Jr. Joe David Williams, Jr., 68, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, May 9th. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, May 15th, at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Linda Morris. Linda Morris of Midland passed away May 8th. There is no service planned. Survivors include children Matthew and Andrew. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Melissa Vaez, 1974 to 2021. Melissa Vaez passed away April 30th, 2021. Visitation will be held Wednesday, May 12th, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, May 13th, at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Left to cherish her memory is her mother, Rosa Torres, daughters Jeanette Titus, Tanisha Jones, son James Burrell Walker, one sister and one brother. Arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel.
Hello, this is Cindy reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, May 12th. Carbon capture plant progresses. Cemetery racetrack getting shut down. Ector County Commissioners Tuesday took a preliminary step toward facilitating the installation of a carbon capture plant at Penwell near the $6.5 billion to $7 billion gasoline manufacturing plant on which construction is scheduled to begin late this year or early next year. The court unanimously authorized Judge Debbie Hayes to sign a memorandum of understanding with the New York City-based financial consultancy firm of Duff & Phelps for the multinational company's clients to conduct Project CTV with the name of the company that will own the plant to stay confidential for now. Wesley Burnett, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, had said the site 15 miles west of Odessa off I-20 was only one of those being considered for the proposal. Burnett said the availability of land at Panwell and the presence of numerous pipelines there make the area conducive to energy industry development. The 2,600-acre Nacero Inc. complex, where natural gas will be converted into gasoline, has been granted generous property tax abatements by Ector County and other local entities. Hayes had said Monday that the CTV project and Nacero will complement each other and they will both create jobs. Carbon capture entails taking carbon dioxide emissions from sources like coal-fired power plants and either reusing or storing them so that they don't enter the atmosphere. Another Tuesday business, the commissioners heard Public Works Director Evans-Kessy's report that some motorists are using the 300 South Dixie Boulevard County Cemetery like a racetrack. But rather than install speed bumps, they opted to repair a fence and close off the area that's being used as a shortcut to another street. District courts reopen after nearly year-long hiatus by Federico Martinez. Ector County State District Courts returned to live in-person court proceedings this week after being forced to operate virtually for nearly 1 year due to COVID-19, and judges, attorneys, and even bailiffs couldn't be happier. Jury selections for several cases were held last Friday so that trials could begin immediately, 244th District Judge James Rush said on Tuesday. "It's so good to be back in court again," Rush said. "I'm so proud of our community for showing up for jury duty. We had a lot of jurors turn out. We're already in the middle of a case." Due to the COVID-imposed close down, criminal trials had to be postponed, so there's a long backlog of cases pending, Rush said. "We were able to have hearings on Zoom, but not any criminal trials," Rush said. "The U.S. Constitution guarantees that everyone has a right to a public trial. We couldn't do that on Zoom. You need to have a jury present along with witnesses." Odessa attorney Bobby Bland agrees, even though hearings continue to be held via Zoom during the pandemic. That had its challenges and limitations. "You lose something when you have a hearing on Zoom online," said Bland. "You can't interact the same way as you would if you were together in one room." "The transition to Zoom took some patience on everyone's part," said Bland, who recently retired as Ector County's district attorney. "Just trying to figure out how to share screens to show documents would slow things down," he said. "It changed how everything flowed." Mission Center to put on inaugural Odessa's Got Talent by Michael Bauer. After not being able to have a fundraiser last year, the Permian Basin Mission Center is looking to make up for lost time with this year's inaugural edition of Odessa's Got Talent. The Mission Center, which is a local resource center for those in need, will be looking to showcase local talent with their show, which will take place at 7:30 p.m. June 18th at First Baptist Church at 311 West 8th Street in Odessa. Currently, the Mission Center is still accepting virtual auditions until May 21st. Finalists will be announced on May 24th and will perform on June 18th. "We're hoping to create something that we can build on and that it can get bigger and more exciting over the years and proved a recurring funding source for the Mission Center," Christy Batty, fundraising chair and board member at the Permian Basin Mission Center, said. Batty said the idea of doing a talent show came about when they were searching for ways to have a fundraiser. Because of the pandemic, they originally planned on having a virtual show. "The original plan was that this would only be online," Batty said. "Of course, things have opened up, and we decided that it's a great time to get together and let these talented people perform live. It's just ended up being a live performance rather than strictly online." Permian Basin Mission Center Executive Director Hector Aguilar said they are very ecstatic about doing a talent show to raise funds. "We're excited to get our community involved and excited to get the word out," Aguilar said. "We want to create a fun and different way to get our community involved and to give this year to the Permian Basin Mission Center. We wanted to create something different and something fun that our community will enjoy and give back to the Permian Basin Mission Center. The winner will receive up to $5,000 in cash prizes. To audition, people should record a video of them performing and then register online at https://www.permianbasinmission.org/ogt.html and complete the entry form. Auditions are really easy in this day and age because we can all upload from our phones, Batty said. Auditions happen by going to the website and uploading a video of whatever the talent is. It could be juggling, magic, singing, keyboarding, a band, whatever it is. We just need a video, and then it will be judged the weekend after the auditions are due on the 21st. Kids and adults are welcome to audition, and Batty said, to keep the acts family-friendly. We know that there will be plenty of kids auditioning, Batty said, but this is for adults as well. We have a cash prize pool of $5,000, so there's going to be a lot of opportunity for some good prize money to be earned. We think it's going to be fun. It might even be a good experience for a band to get in front of people or students who need some experience getting in front of an audience and performing. We know there's really good talent around here and we'd like to see it. There will be three judges at the performance, one of which will be a guest judge, Peter Furler. Furler is a Grammy-nominated Christian artist and former lead singer of the band The Newsboys and has 27 number one hit singles and over 7 million records sold. We are really excited to have him on board, Aguilar said. We hope that bringing him over will create a buzz. It's really exciting to have someone like him who's well known in the music industry to join us. There will also be a separate award that will be given out called the People's Choice Award, in which voters decide online and is awarded to any of the finalists. Anyone who makes it to the finals will be eligible for this award, and that will be all online voting, Batty said. Once that's announced on May 25th, anyone can go and pay to vote for that person, and the person who ends up with the most votes by the live performance will get a cash prize. All the funds will go to the Permian Basin Mission Center, which is a faith-based organization that provides families that are in need with emergency food boxes, among other services. So if they need food, they can call, and we're still on curbside delivery and take it out to them, depending on how many family members they have, Batty said. It's designed to sustain them for several days so they can have that security. We also provide utility assistance, so in case families are in crisis, we can step in and provide them with some security. Tickets will be sold at the event, and Batty said there will be sponsorships available as well. However, ticket prices haven't yet been determined. Whether or not the Permian Basin Mission Center does another Odessa's Got Talent is still up in the air. If it goes well this year, we have talked about doing it again next year, Aguilar said. COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 17,289 total cases, 370 deaths. Midland County, 17,541 total cases, 268 deaths. Texas, 2,924,596 total cases, 50,942 deaths. U.S. cases, 33,544,703 total confirmed, and 596,876 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick Hits Concert. All In Foster and Adoption Awareness Concert featuring Mark Schultz has been scheduled Friday at Grace Christian Fellowship, 3450 Billy Hext Road. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. and the concert begins at 6:30 p.m. Admission is free. For tickets or more information, visit theatticfn.org/allin. Film screening. Ellen Newell Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Finding Vivian Mayer film screening at 6 p.m. Thursday. This critically acclaimed documentary is about a woman who secretly took over 100,000 photos and negatives. Decades later, she was considered by some to be one of the 20th century's greatest street photographers. Face masks are required. Shoot for Heroes. Show of Support has scheduled a sporting clay shoot. Shoot for Heroes, July 30th at Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays, 2551 County Road, C-2801, Stanton. Check-in for the first flight is at 7:30 a.m. Show of Support is a 501c3 nonprofit organization honoring America's wounded veterans. Their purpose is to demonstrate public support for the men and women of our military by providing outdoor hunting adventures to those men and women who have been injured in service to our country. Sponsorships are available. To sponsor or for more information, call 432-687-2167 or visit showofsupport.org. Storm Damages Event. A FEMA Storm Damages Event is set for 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Powell Gymnasium at Floyd Gwynn Park at the corner of 10th Street and West County Road. Bring insurance information, if available, your Social Security number, the address of the damaged property, and a phone number where you can be contacted. Ceremony to mark Cooper's Lineage Society memberships. The family of Helen Cooper will have a ceremony at 2 p.m. Sunday at Sunset Memorial Gardens to unveil three Lineage Society grave markers. Her gravesite is at Sunset Memorial Gardens in the Harmony section, 182 Space 4. There is some shade, but no seating, so people may feel free to bring a chair. The three grave markers are for the Daughters of the American Revolution, United Daughters of the Confederacy, and Colonial Dames of the 17th Century. Helen also held memberships in Odessa Classroom Teachers Association, American Legion Auxiliary. The ceremony is being organized by her daughter, Carla McGinley, who lives in the Houston area. McGinley said her mother wanted each marker added to her bronze memorial marker at her gravesite. Cooper died at age 88 on January 7, 2020, in Katy. Her obituary said she was born July 20, 1931, in Buffalo, Oklahoma, to Dr. Thomas Harold and Gladys Williams. She was married to Jim James Paul Cooper in Odessa on January 21, 1952. Cooper was reared in the Texas Gulf oil camps, attending grade schools in Crane, McCamey, Ira Ann, Goldsmith, and Odessa. Her family moved to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma in 1943. She graduated from Central High School in 1948. The family then moved to San Antonio and a year later to Odessa, where Helen's father, Dr. Harold Williams, began his chiropractic practice. Helen attended college for 2 years and then worked as an office manager bookkeeper for several years in Odessa, Anchorage, Alaska, and Amarillo. After moving back to Odessa in 1967, the obituary said, she returned to college and graduated from Saul Ross University in 1971. She received her master's degree in guidance and counseling from University of Texas of the Permian Basin. She was a licensed professional counselor. Cooper taught special education in elementary and high school for 7 years. She was a Title I counselor for 1 year and spent 21 years as a counselor at Bonham Junior High. In 1997, she received the Junior High School Counselor of the Year award from the Permian Basin Counselors Association, of which she was a member. Helen also held memberships in Odessa Classroom Teachers Association, American Legion Auxiliary, Daughters of the American Revolution, United Daughters of the Confederacy, and the Colonial Dames. She retired from the school system in 2001. Helen was a member of Temple Baptist Church, now Crossroads Fellowship, and Odessa Tabernacle. Helen was preceded in death by her parents, her sister Louise Triplett. The obituary said Cooper is survived by her daughter and son-in-law Carla and Mike McGinley of Katy, her son Craig Cooper of Euless, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, her brother and sister-in-law Dr. Harold and Janice Williams Jr. of San Antonio, her nieces and nephews and their children. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Jesus Amador Galindo, age 94, of Odessa, passed away peacefully from this life on May 1st. He was born on April 30, 1927, in Lubbock, to Jesus Sr. and Juanita Galindo. He was married to his wife, Mercedes Galindo, deceased for 49 years. He is survived by his four children, Estella and husband Jimmy Esparza, Irma Galindo, Lupe and Julia Galindo, Isadora Subia, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandson. He is preceded in death by his wife, Mercedes, and two sons, Amador Galindo Jr. and Ruben Galindo. Rosary will be held at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home at 7 p.m. Thursday, May 13th. Services will be held at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church at 2 p.m. Friday, May 14th. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Manuel Hector Garcia, 82, of Odessa, died Wednesday, May 5th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. May 13th at Santa Rosa de Lima Catholic Church, Pecos, Greenwood Cemetery, Pecos. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Carmen Lara, 89, of Goldsmith, died Thursday, May 6th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. on Friday, May 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Directors of Odessa. Claudie M. Arens, 94, of Odessa, died Saturday, May 8th, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. May 15th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Lawrence Thomas L.T. Durrett, Jr., 83, died Sunday, May 9th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Midland County moves into top 10% of health rankings. Amid all the uncertainties and challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic and its effects on the local economy, we learned some good news about our community. For the first time, Midland County ranked nearly in the top 10% on the Robert Wood Johnson County Health Rankings at 27 out of 250 counties in Texas. This is the best ranking we have ever achieved. We know that our zip code has a much more significant impact on our overall health and well-being than our genetic code, so I welcome every effort that focuses on changing our physical environment to support our healthy lifestyle behaviors. Although I'm not sure we can take credit for this improvement in health rankings, I can confidently say that at the Lifestyle Medicine Center, we have made a lot of dedicated efforts to raise awareness about the importance of improving lifestyle and offering specific programs to address common chronic diseases. We have offered community wellness tours, free educational classes, and ongoing support. In addition, we are now getting ready to implement new initiatives that would specifically target poor health behaviors that adversely affect our county rankings. Healthy City, the nonprofit organization working to raise awareness within our community around lifestyle and healthy nutrition, has also been offering their annual Food is Medicine seminars for the last 5 years. They have invited world-class speakers to Midland each year, attracting more than 500 people. They also offer grocery store tours, cooking demonstrations, and monthly community potlucks to provide ongoing community support. We have created a culture of health and wellness within our community and in our healthcare system. In addition to offering employee wellness programs, we have also made healthy food options available in the cafeteria and inpatient menus at the hospital. Every week, I get to speak with lifestyle medicine leaders from around the country who reach out to me, curious to learn how we were able to create a lifestyle medicine center in such a small community, something that physician leaders in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago have not been able to do. It comes down to the fact that in 2015, Midland Health redefined its vision of making Midland the healthiest community in Texas, and its leadership understood that integrating lifestyle medicine would be the best way to accomplish that. It may surprise you to know that Midland Health is now the leading lifestyle medicine program in the nation. We are helping other health systems through our own experience, guiding and advising them on how to best implement these programs. The American College of Lifestyle Medicine, ACLM, is the nation's only medical professional association for those dedicated to a treatment-first approach, focused on identifying and eradicating the root causes of disease, with health restoration as the clinical outcome goal, as opposed to disease management, when health restoration, disease reversal, is unattainable, then disease management becomes the goal, focused on medication de-escalation and halting disease progression. This is contrasted by what so often is the status quo approach of diagnosing symptoms and treating those symptoms with ever-increasing quantities of pills and procedures, an unsustainable model, neither in the best interest of patients nor providers. LM offers the secret sauce to accomplish the quadruple aim of health care. 1. Improved patient experience. 2. Better health outcomes. 3. Lower health care costs. 4. Improved clinical experience for the provider. Dr. Kate Collings, the current president of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, has this to share. Midland Health's Lifestyle Medicine Center and their comprehensive services have become a prototype for lifestyle medicine practices and health systems around the nation. Others in the field of lifestyle medicine look to Midland Health for innovative lifestyle medicine programs that meet patient needs in their health system and their broader community. The American College of Lifestyle Medicine is pleased for all the expertise shared by Midland Health's lifestyle medicine leaders. The time is now for a lifestyle medicine-first approach to real health care, wherein evidence-based therapeutic lifestyle intervention is used to treat and often reverse the chronic conditions. According to CDC, more than 60% of American adults are already diagnosed with one chronic disease, and more than 40% diagnosed with two or more. The medical community is awakening to the reality that the traditional approach of pills and procedures is ineffective and must become secondary to a lifestyle medicine-first approach of treating root causes of disease. I am very excited that our local Texas Tech University is now considering implementing lifestyle medicine into their residency curriculum for the residents in training. This offers us the opportunity to plant the seeds of knowledge in the next generation of healthcare professionals. Lifestyle Medicine Week. Please join us as we celebrate Lifestyle Medicine Week from May 30th through June 5th. It is a global celebration of healthy behaviors and a public awareness campaign on the impact our choices can have on chronic disease. This week focuses public awareness on the 6 essential lifestyle elements that optimize health: nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress, substance abuse, and social connection. In celebrating this week, we empower all people to ask their health professionals, 1. To be educated about lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based, growing field of medicine. 2. To treat with lifestyle interventions first. 3. To spread health through living by example. To learn more about our lifestyle medicine programs, please call 221-LIFE-LIFE, 5433. Padmaja Patel, MD, is the medical director for our Midland Health's Lifestyle Medicine Program and the director of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Padmaja Patel, MD, Midland Health.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.